Mother's Day, and you don't know what to get her at such a late notice, flowers work good. I hear 1-800 flowers is a good place to go. Now, really, flowers are always good. Cards are always good. Fishing equipment, not so good. Yeah, kitchen equipment, probably not a good idea. It sends kind of a mixed message. I love your cooking. Can you cook for me? That's probably not a good thing to do on Mother's Day. So, but there are some things that you can give that are always appropriate to the women in your life, to people, period. And that's what we want to cover this morning, what to give your mother, especially on Mother's Day. So let's look together at some scriptures together on this subject matter. I think the first thing that I think is important to recognize is that we have this day just to validate motherhood. It's interesting how our culture has kind of motherhood is not seen as a positive thing necessarily. It's, for instance, if someone has a great career, they make a lot of money, they have an important position, and they're a woman, and they decide to quit their job so they can start a family, there are some that think that's a big mistake, that they're taking a big step down by focusing their attention on their family and starting a family. Now, the Bible doesn't see it that way. The Bible sees it as something that is especially important when we look at motherhood. Being a mother is building people. When God said to us to be fruitful and multiply, he's talking about the propagation of humankind and the building of society. And much of that takes place in the home. And mothers play an essential role in building the life of children. Because when you have a child, they don't come ready-made. Did you notice that? They need a lot of help. They need a lot of interaction, a lot of attention. And that's a full-time job. I'm just so glad that motherhood happens when you're young. Same parenting happens when you're young. Because when you're older, I don't know, you just don't have the energy anymore. Amen on that, some of you out there? You just know you don't have the energy because it takes a lot of attention. It takes a lot of time. And there's never a moment where you don't need to be aware of what's going on, what's happening. So motherhood is a full-time job. And the Bible talks about motherhood as a way of people being shaped and formed and developed. And you are building a person. We see in our society where people have been neglected. They haven't had the love of a mother or a father or a home or a family. And that person is at such a disadvantage. They have so many things that they have to deal with that if they had just the right input into their life, they wouldn't have to go through. So God, when he looks at building something that's important, he looks at people. Buildings are wonderful. Works of art are neat, but they don't last forever. But people do. People are eternal. And when you invest in a child's life, you're investing in something that's eternal. And so motherhood is important, and we need to validate that. There were some scriptures here in Proverbs chapter 31. If you would turn with me if you have your Bible, Proverbs 31, verse 28. And it says this, speaking of mothers, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gates. Now, when that scripture is written here, the proverb here, it's talking about honoring women, validating their importance in the life of the community, in society. And it notice it says, honor her for all that her hands have done. We don't honor women for what they do in the home that much anymore. And it's good to have a day like today to do that. And it says, let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, what's all that about? Is that just the place where you go into the city right at the gate? No, it has much more significance than that. When you look at the scripture, when it talks about the city gate, something happened at the city gate that made it very significant. It's why that they should praise her at the city gate, because at the city gate is where all the government activities would take place, where laws would be enforced, where judgments would be made, where cases would be tried. When somebody had an issue, they go to the city gate. When they had a government decision to be made, a lot of times it was done at the city gate. That's where the important matters of the community were settled. And so when he says here, let her praise be at the city gates, he's talking about let her activity, the things that she has committed to or contributed to the society, be praised among the most important people, important situations in the country. Let her be honored above all. When you look at this, we need to recognize that women are important, not just because they're a creation of God, but the role they play in our society. There's a survey that was done in about different women, and they were expressing their what they would like to have as a validation or something that really made them feel important, because that's what validation is all about, is giving value and importance to the role of a mother. And I'm just going to read a few of these comments. It says, one woman said, I feel validated when my daughter asks my advice as she's trying to decide what to wear. There are moments when she's like, you don't know what's going on, Mom. You don't have good taste. And when she asks, I'm like, she really does value my opinion. Especially teenagers, right? When they value your opinion. Being a mom, another one, when my daughter comes to me and tells me she loves me, that's what really matters. When my stepdaughters call me and ask me about a recipe or how do I get the stain out of this shirt? It's like the little things that makes me feel validated and I feel important. Another comment. My husband is wonderful. One night, the baby wasn't sleeping and we're up. He had to go to work in the morning. He said, your job is much harder than mine. That just meant so much to me. When we look at the validation, just recognizing their importance and expressing how important what they do is to you. This is the day to do that. This is the day to give them validation, to recognize their importance. Another thing you can give your wife or your husband or your mother is compassion. Giving compassion. Colossians 3:12 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, compassion is awareness of other people and their trouble or distress or issues that they're going through, and it moves you to want to do something to help relieve that distress. When we see Jesus, we see him full of compassion. He was moved by the issues of the people and the suffering that they were going through, the hardship, the trials, the situations they would face. So when we talk about compassion, giving compassion, we're talking about being connected with the person that is our mother or that woman in our life, and we are aware of what they're going through. I don't know if you've heard this radio commercial, but this couple, and they're saying, well, he's not smiling yet. Well, maybe he just is not old enough to smile. Or maybe he's, because he's a boy, maybe boys don't smile. Or maybe he's got a toothache and he doesn't feel like smiling. Or, and they go through all these things and finally come to the point saying, maybe he's autistic. Now, when you talk about a person who's autistic, they're so caught up in their own world, they can't really deal with what's outside of them. And they're totally preoccupied with their own world. They're stuck. They're trapped within that world. And the therapy and the help that is all about trying to get them to connect with the world around them, to interact with people around them, because they just don't have that ability, those social skills and abilities. When we talk about compassion, some of us are a little autistic. We're so focused on our own world that we're not even aware of what's going on around us, especially mothers, because we take for granted what is going on in their life. They'll take care of it. They've always been focused on us. And so we're not aware of what they're dealing with. To be aware of the cares and concerns of the woman in your life is being like Jesus, because he was caring like that. Let's look at a story in Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it says, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. In other words, he was compassionate. And he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the brier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus, when he was in this situation, he had a large crowd following him. He had a lot of people wanted to be around him, be with him, hear what he had to say, watch him, and they were totally focused on Jesus. And, you know, when you're the center of attention, it's easy just to be focused on the attention that's coming your way. But Jesus didn't do that. As he's walking down the road, coming to a little town called Nain, he sees a procession. It's probably in the afternoon, because that's when funerals would take place. And they would do it soon after the person would die. So it was the very next day. And we find that this procession is that it's probably be led by women, because in those days they didn't treat them as well as they should be treated. It was considered that if you were a woman, that you brought pain into this world. So if you were had a funeral, you would be the first one to lead the procession. And the mother was with her son. Now, the significance of this situation is that she was a widow. That means the husband was not in her life. The source of income that would be hers wasn't there. So the only other income that she would have would be through her son in that society, and he had just passed away. So basically, her retirement, her care, all those things are no longer there. And she's going to be by herself. And she's going to be extremely poverty-stricken because of this situation. And Jesus, what he does is he stops and he sees the situation. And when he does, he goes right to her and tells her not to cry. Because if you've ever been to a kind of a Middle Eastern funeral, they don't just have little tears coming down their face. There's a lot of noise. Deep grief is expressed. I remember going to one funeral, and I'll tell you, they were just wailing. They weren't, you know, civil like we, a lot of times we think. They were just grief expressed loud. And so you have this whole crowd of people expressing grief. And he just focuses in like a laser right on the woman and says, don't cry. And then he brings her hope. He relieves her distress. He relieves her pain by resurrecting and bringing back to life her son. Now, he felt what she felt. He was walking in her shoes. He had compassion on her. And that's basically what compassion is walking in someone else's shoes, feeling what they feel, understanding what they're going through, and bringing about comfort or encouragement or whatever is needed to relieve the distress that that person is going through. And so much of our time, we are so preoccupied with ourselves that we can't see what other people are going through, especially mothers and those women in our life that are so important. So giving them compassion means that you are tuned in to what they're going through. For husbands, it's, the Bible says, live considerately with your wife. What does that mean? You give some thought to your wife and what she's dealing with. If she's going through stress, do you recognize it? Do you see it? Or are you just oblivious? If she's had some kind of struggle or something, feeling some kind of pain, do you aware of it? And then are you doing something about it to help relieve it? That's what compassion is. And it's always appropriate to give compassion to the woman in your life. Next, give them patience. Now, here's an interesting scripture, Psalm 78, in the first part of verse 56. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you in your life. Yet though he did all this for them, they continued to test his patience. Now, any of you ladies ever felt that way? Though all that you've done for them, still, they try your patience. They push you to the outer limit. Family can try us. It can stretch our patience. I don't know, there's something about people coming together that can try your patience. You know, I'm the most patient person when I'm all by myself. I have great patience for myself. Not really. But, you know, it's easier to be patient when you don't have other people. But it seems like you get people together, sooner or later, your patience is tried. Now, kids can try your patience. When you tell that child of yours, this is the 50th time I've asked if you would clean your room, you're getting stretched to the limit. Or you say, this is the third time I've had to break up this fight over the same issue. If you don't stop, I'm going to start breaking you. And you start to lose it. Your patience is being tested. Or when have these plans that you want to see accomplished that day. And as you go through your day, you find that nothing that you wanted to do, nothing you thought you needed to do, gets done. Instead, your day is filled with whatever everybody else is yelling at you about to do for them. After a while, your patience gets stretched. It's being tested. Now, God, I want you to just know this. God knows about having patience tested when people push you to the limit. He understands that, and he's aware of that. So when we were talking about giving patience to our wives or our mothers, one of the things that help us give patience to them is to recognize what it is that we're doing that's causing them to have their patience tested and to stop it. You know, God had instructions for his people, and he gave them promises, he gave them instructions, and they were constantly ignoring it and continuing to do the things that he asked them not to do. Now, how would that testing of God's patience stop? They would just obey. So all the people that need to hear this are upstairs. So the teenagers are upstairs. So just give them this part of the message afterwards, that if they want to give their mother patience, then just do what they ask. That'll lengthen their patience quite a bit. Now, another thing about patience is that patience is tied to understanding. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, it says, those who are patient have great understanding, but the quick-tempered display folly. So the point is that those who have patience have understanding. And when the woman in our life, his patience been tested and tested and tested, and it's coming to a breaking point, and you wonder why they're so grumpy, why they seem to be irritable, why they're so short in their conversation or response to you, and you start to get a little irritated because they seem to be irritated. You know how that works? Anger begets anger. Impatience begets, you know, it spreads. So before it spreads, to give them patience, to help them with that patience, you need to have some understanding of what they're going through, what they're dealing with. And understanding helps us to not just look at the surface and respond to the feelings that they have, but you learn what the reason before what they're doing or what their attitude, what is it they've been going through, what have they been dealing with. That will help us to give them patience. Another thing is when they're running low on patience, you need to do is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And it says, "So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you." So what do you like done for you when you're stressed? What do you like done for you when you're pushed to the limit? How do you want to be treated? It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. That helps you get into their shoes, and you start to see what they're going through, and then you are there to relieve that or to help with that and carry out that to help relieve and make sure that she has a greater sense of help and gives more patience to them. Another verse is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, "Patience," here, "be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love." Now, patience is not necessarily a feeling. It doesn't require a feeling. Sometimes you can be patient because it doesn't really matter to you. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't concern you. Some things bother some people and doesn't bother you. Some things bug you that doesn't bug me because we're different personalities. But when you get into the place where you're losing your patience and you're feeling impatient about something, practicing patience, holding back, and not reacting doesn't require you to feel patient. It says here that be patient with each other, making allowances for each other because of your love. When I am patient with other people, I'm loving them. When I overlook an impatient remark or an irritated remark and hold back and impatient with them. That's loving. So another way that you can give them more patience is to love them by recognizing their shortcomings and their faults and giving them grace for that moment. Another one that we can give is give appreciation. Appreciation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 says this: I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, Paul the Apostle is writing these two letters here, both Ephesians and Philippians. And we see in other letters that he's written, he many times will respond or write to the fact that he gives thanks for them. Giving thanks means that you appreciate them, that you value them, that they're important to you. And he says, I don't stop giving thanks. In other words, he doesn't take them for granted. And I think that's the enemy of appreciation, is taking someone or something for granted. I've noticed something, that when teenagers get to the age where they're ready to move on or ready to be kicked out, whatever the case may be, that when they're on their own, they finally realize all the things that they took for granted. There are a lot of things that mom did, like wash your clothes. It's amazing. Some of these young kids in college, they don't know how to wash their clothes. They just store them up and bring them home once a month. You know? As though that's how clothes are washed. They take so many things for granted that it's a big awakening when they finally are going on their own, and all these things that are being done for them and taken care of for them, they finally realize what has been happening in their life all this time and how much they've taken for granted. You know, those things are little. But I'll tell you, your life is going to be chaos unless they're taken care of. And she takes care of those things with little appreciation, as though that's what they live for. Tell me, ladies, anybody love to do laundry? Oh, I saw a hand go down real quick. How about cooking dinner all the time? See, there's some things that you go, okay, I like doing that. But there's other things you're going, okay, well, how about make your own dinner night? Because I've been doing dinner every night of the week. Let's have make your own dinner night. How about no dinner night? That's a good one. You know, you're looking to try to get a break on these things, and you know, just having someone say, you know, I appreciate it. I really want to thank you for the dinner that you made tonight, or that you always make the dinner, or you do. Those little things help. They build up the other person. They give a sense that these things are important. They're valuable. And we need to recognize that. Enough said on that. Let's move on to the next one. Show appreciation. Just tell them. Tell them, I appreciate what you did. I appreciate what you do. And be thankful for it. And you're going to find your life a lot more blessed if you just start to think about all the things that you have to be thankful for. And your mother is one of the biggest ones. Okay, how about giving them kindness? Giving kindness. Now, kindness is love in action. It sees a need and meets it. It's the hands and feet of love. So when we look at kindness, it's love being expressed in a practical way. And the Christian life is the life of kindness. The Bible tells us in Titus 3:4, Jesus Christ is the kindness of God. And Jesus is the kindness of God to us. He is the one we see when we see God's kindness. He is kindness in the flesh, in person. He is kindness expressed, God's love being expressed to us in the very practical ways. Now, if you're going to be a Christian, one of the things you need to know how to do and things you need to practice is kindness, giving kindness to others, because then you're more like God when you're kind to others. Colossians 3:12 again, the verse says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. In other words, this is the wardrobe we should be wearing when we get up. You know, when you first put on your clothes, think about, what do I need to put on for this day? Well, compassion is one, being able to get in the shoes of others, feel what they feel, see what they see, kind of get connected to those around us, be in tune, and then kindness, expressing your love for them in practical ways that meets those needs. I'm going to wear that today because that's the way Jesus was. Kindness is also sympathetic. It sympathizes with someone. So when you're happy, they're happy. When you're sad, they're sad. They feel with you. They share your joys. They share your sorrows. People are attracted to people who are kind like that, who are sympathetic, who listen, who hear when someone's saying things about what they're going through, and they feel with them. They are kind in that way. Kindness can be something that's just not felt with for someone, but it's something that can also be expressed in how you respond to what their situation is. Kind words, saying something that touches their need. So that brings up the question here. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, the Message version says this, kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. So how do you talk to your mother? Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. What you say to her in those moments can either heal or they can maim. You know, cutting remarks, sarcasm, can be funny or it can be hurting. It can be cutting in how you respond. Do you give them compassion, compliments, or do you give them cutting and sarcastic remarks? Do you argue or do you listen? Do you let them tell you about their life and what's going on? Or do you just have a silence and cut them out of your life? Kindness participates in a person's life and gives words that heal, words that give comfort and encouragement. Finally, you can give, and this is probably one of the big ones, you can give them rest. Moms need rest. You feel exhausted because you've got too much to do. And then you feel guilty because you don't feel like you've done enough. Anybody relate to that? Okay? So there is this kind of a vice grip where you try to do and you feel like you should be doing these things and you feel like it's just overwhelming. And then you stop and then you go, I feel guilty because I didn't do more. You can't win. And Jesus mentioned this, he mentions it here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, he's not just speaking here of physical rest. He's really speaking about the rest for your soul. Because sometimes just the pace of life and the things that pull at you all the time, all the things you feel like you should be doing, all the responsibilities that you need to take care of, all the things that you didn't get to and should be doing, you feel like, all these things pull on you and just sap the life out of you. Amen? And you just find yourself being drained. And you need to be restored, renewed. You need rest. Well, where does this rest come from? Well, you need to give your mother rest by giving them time with Jesus, to be able to spend some time with the Lord so they can be renewed and restored. How many of you have ever had a time where you get alone with the Lord for just 10 minutes and it so restores you that you feel like you can go on? That's all you needed. And just giving them a little bit of time away from the things that they have been doing, and so that they are not disturbed, so they can have time with the Lord, is important. There's a woman in history, Susan Wesley. She had a couple sons that were pretty famous, pretty well known, Charles Wesley and John Wesley. They began the Methodist movement, changed Europe, the United States, through their preaching and teaching. And it was the input of their mother that enabled them to be such incredible men. And they weren't the only ones in the family. There were 8 more children in that family. So there were 10 kids. Now, tell me, just try to get in her shoes. What alone time are you going to get with 10 kids? Very rarely. So what did she do? You can't find a room that's empty or a room that you can get alone by yourself, because you know how that is. You go off somewhere to be by yourself, and everybody comes to join you where you are by yourself, and you're not by yourself. It's kind of weird, you know. As soon as you want to be around them, they want to go. But as soon as you want to be away from them, they come. It's something, I don't know, it's some kind of magic thing that happens there. I'm not sure. So what she would do, she knew that there was no room, no place to flee to. So she would take her apron and put it over her head. And that meant, don't bother Mom. She's with Jesus. If you bother her, you'll be with Jesus. So she had some time with the Lord, enabling her to find rest and be rejuvenated and come back alive again because of all the stress and all the demands on her. So when we talk about this, you need to realize that they need downtime. They need time to recuperate. They need time to be renewed, time with the Lord. So it's just something that they need to know, that you will give them that time. Work out some kind of signal. When Mom's on the couch, in that chair, or in that place at the table, and she has her Bible, guess what? Hold the question. Hold the issue. It will wait 15 minutes. Yes, it's important, but don't you dare come over here. This is Mommy and Jesus time. And that's something they need. This is something as a family we can give to our wives, we can give to our spouse, to our mother, that they have downtime. So look at those gifts and see if that something that you can give to your mother this Mother's Day or this year even. Validation, compassion, kindness, patience, appreciation, rest. All those things. And they never go out of style. They never become obsolete. They are something that can always be appreciated in the woman's life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have been given a gift of the women in our lives, Lord, our mothers, our wives. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless them today. May they see how important they are to us and what an important role they play in our lives. Lord, we're truly blessed to have them. We ask, Lord, that you would just be with them today. May they recognize they are important to you. We just thank you, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to sing closing, Flow to You. Time to get renewed. Lord, we come to you this morning. Our worship reaches out to you, Lord. Renew us, we pray, in your love. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your love for us. With all my heart.
all I do. Let the river of my worship flow to you like streams in the valley. Swell with the rain. May the songs of my heart rise to bless your name and flow to you. Flow to you. Let my worship flow to you.
Lord, we just thank you again for today as we honor the institution of motherhood. Lord, we pray you bless each woman here. May they feel and experience your favor today. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Waiting here for you.